Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And hour two is upon us. I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama. Charlie Grimes, our engineer. John Tamney joining us now. Welcome back, John. I appreciate you joining us on Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me back.
Vice President of Freedom Works, Director of its Center for Economic Freedom. You're also editor at Real Clear Markets and Senior Economic Advisor to a mutual fund firm, Applied Finance Group. But the book is When Politicians Panic, the New Coronavirus, Expert Opinion, and a Tragic Lapse of Reason. So, John, you saw probably some of the announcements today, even when it comes to where we're at now with distancing and masks and so on. Give us your thoughts.
The sheer arrogance of it. Oh, the CDC has decided that we can not wear masks inside and we can congregate with other people.
Right.
Well, guess what? We've been doing this the whole time.
Amen.
You know, yeah. Some people did quarantine, and that's their right.
Right.
But to pretend that we waited for the CDC to tell us to do what we knew we could do, that we waited for President Biden to tell us we could get together with limited family members and have barbecues.
Right.
Oh, please. We've been having barbecues all along.
Yeah, I didn't skip one last year at all, John.
Lockdown.
Yep.
Darn right.
I mean, I had them all summer long last year, and we were early into the pandemic, and it didn't bother me any. And granted, there were some other people out there like myself and you and Rachel that did the same thing. Although,
yeah.
John, I will tell you, and the one thing that is still, I said it a moment ago, and I'll get your thoughts on this, but there's an entire, I feel, not all, I'm not trying to, you know, paint a broad brush over the entire young generation, but that young generation, what I mean by that is the, you know, 20-year-old to 35-year-old, for some odd reason, John, they have really bought hook, line, and sinker into this entire, you know, got to wear a mask, or I got to wear two masks, got to make sure I distance, got to make sure that you wear your mask. I mean, we've got this entire younger generation now that is literally running off of fear. And my answer to that is because they've never faced any type of adversity in their life before. What do you think?
I am a bit more optimistic than you. Are the younger generation, do they buy all into the masks, or is that what you see? As in, is that what they report on? You know, it's kind of like...
Well, I mean, I think for me, it's what I've seen. I did vacation a week ago and traveled, you know, several places, and I'll tell you, John, that, you know, it's not my age group that I have to worry about giving me the stink eye when I don't have a mask on. It's that 25-year-old or 30-year-old I have to worry about that does.
So weird.
Yeah. No, look... there's no doubt you're going to run into that, but it kind of reminds me in the 1960s, Cal Berkeley was the flower bed of campus liberalism.
Right.
But when they looked closely at it, this was about 5% of the campus. Most of the kids were there looking to get jobs and everything, but the focus was on this 5% that was very fringe. And I think there's a tendency, and we all know it. Never forget they said this about your generation. And they said this about your parents' generation. They said about your grandparents' generation.
True.
It's always the case that young Americans are spoiled, entitled. They don't know hardship. And what are we actually saying? We're saying that, yeah, of course they don't. Because in the U.S., all we've ever known is progress. Every new generation looks spoiled, entitled relative to the ones in the past because we keep making things better in this country.
That's true.
And
I'll give you that.
Guaranteed, the young people, the 20 to 35s, that we think don't get it right now, guaranteed they'll be saying the same thing about future generations. This is called progress.
True.
And mad as I am about what happened, and it was a tragedy, never forget who foisted the tragedy on us. It wasn't the young people.
That's true.
And mad as, and I think it's important to stress that this is as old as the hills. Young people in the U.S. Certainly always look weak relative to their elders, but guaranteed this generation will achieve enormous things.
No, I agree with that. I would not take anything away from that whatsoever. And again, I don't paint this with a broad brush because I think there are those. I mean, I've got kids that are of that age that haven't bought into all of that. So, yeah, it's not every one of them that have done so. And granted, there's people my age that have bought into it hook, line, and sinker too. So, you know, I guess it goes both ways. I do, though, think, John, that when I say adversity, I mean, you, myself, I know Rachel, even Charlie. I mean, there's many things in my life that I've had to overcome, lots of adversity. And I do think, that, you know, let's face it, since the recession of 08, we as a country haven't had to face much adversity at all.
Right. From my perspective, I think what it is the young people haven't dealt with is questioning. Right, they go to these universities.
That could be.
They're told what to think. There's no diverse thought. There's no debate. And I think, like, okay, so they see authority figures. They tell them they're being told what to think. They're being told how to, you know, perceive things. And then, you know, the CDC comes in, or whoever comes in and tells them what they're supposed to do and what they're supposed to say and what they're supposed to think. And they just kind of take it.
I would say, John, that even goes into my generation as well, because I've seen some of those same folks in my age group do the same thing.
Yeah, no, I think so. Again, I would tend to be a bit more optimistic. Let's never forget, adversity in the U.S. Is really pretty grand relative to the rest of the world.
Agree.
I would say the young kids in the U.S. have really had that in the past year. The best time of their lives is arguably their university years, and they've had it taken from them,
right,
needlessly.
Yeah, I agree. No, I just, you know, senior proms and senior graduations and things along those lines. No, I fully agree with you on that. Yeah, they've
so
really been shortchanged
cruel
there.
What they did to
agree.
Young people.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And it's some of it's anecdotal, but you know, you hear about kids. It was their first date for the prom. Never got to do it.
Right.
Where I live, there's documented. There's a halfway autistic girl who had never fit in at school before. And she finally got into the high school band last year. And it was taken from her.
Yeah.
So, I think,
sad.
You know, when you're parents, you're kind of locked down as is. What this did to kids, I'm sorry.
I agree.
I think it was horrifying.
I agree.
And this was older. These were older generations. And so
I agree with that.
I refuse to take down the young people in this. And, you know, I'll just add, you go back to 2016, there's a tendency to say that things are going bad, but, you know, as of 2016, Republicans controlled the White House, House, Senate, Supreme Court, two-thirds of governorships, two-thirds of state legislators. It's a reminder that regardless of what's happening in schools, Americans tend to vote Republican when Republicans act like Republicans.
True.
And so I refuse to not be optimistic about our future.
No, and by the way, I agree with you on that, and I tend to look at it much the same way, and I appreciate that, John. I think you brought some, bring some wisdom into this, and you're right. When it comes to the young people out there that really got shortchanged in this, not because of anything they did. In fact, a lot of them wanted those things to happen. They weren't afraid to go to school. They weren't afraid to go to prom. They weren't afraid to have a graduation ceremony.
Right.
They weren't afraid to go to college. In fact, up here at CU, a lot of the kids up there rebelled when they had some of the quarantines up there where you couldn't walk across campus with only you yourself or even one person with you. If you went across campus with three people, you got a ticket. I mean,
jeez,
they rebelled against those things, so hats off to them for doing so.
Yep, and I guarantee you, some of those kids were living it up. They did not let these awful
agree.
These force mongers take away their lives. But to me, school was never about the education. I was always going to read a lot. I think I speak for all three of us. I was always going to be inquisitive. School is about the chance to meet new people.
Right, social.
And they had the best thing about school, whether it's grade school, high school, and college, taken from
true.
Them in the past year. And again, yeah, adversity in the United States is gold-plated. We are the richest country on earth. Oklahoma State in England would be one of the five prettiest campuses there. That's how amazing the United States is.
Yeah.
Right.
But it doesn't take away from the sick things a panicky political class did to people of all ages, including the young. And so my honest guess is that we're going to see a rebellion from the young because they realize just how much damage.
Right. I hope so.
I hope you're right.
So quickly.
I hope so.
So, John, give me your thoughts. We've also seen this week more and more that's come out against the, I call him the little dictator, Dr. Fauci, and a lot of the things that he actually did to us, which, by the way, you're talking about, really was pushed from the top down and came really from him and his office, if you would. And yet we're seeing this week the ties that he's had to Wuhan and, quite frankly, may have been the single-handed reason that we even have this foisted upon the world in the first place. I think the guy should go to jail.
Look, I think so. I think there should be hearings. I think he should be embarrassed. There's nothing wrong.
I think he should be behind bars.
Yeah.
I'll go one step farther.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want there to be a discussion, because if you look at the damage it's done to people, and again, science, it's not science if there's not doubt and everything, and we're constantly learning and everything. My one reluctance to go too far with the thing with Wuhan is that it excuses politicians.
True.
Look, it's the nature of guys like Fauci. He's been an alarmist his whole career. Remember,
right,
as I write, when politicians panicked in 1983, he was saying you could get AIDS just by being in the same household as someone who had it. He was intensely wrong.
Right.
And so precisely because he was, why did our politicians go head over heels and listen to him and let him have so much sway over the policy response?
I refuse to
focus on Fauci is to miss the point.
True.
If politicians had kept their heads about them, we would not be in this predicament. So, yeah,
true.
Fauci, Scott Gottlieb, they've always been alarmists. Redfield was a walking, talking straw man in the 1980s and 90s about AIDS. They've always been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yet politicians still followed them.
You're right, John. And I, one of the things that I've even faulted Trump on is not cleaning house in some of those areas from day one when he took over office, and even when it came to Fauci, you know, listening as much as he did. And I realize that was a hard position to be in when all of this started, but the reality is even Trump made a mistake by giving Fauci as much of the power as he did.
Without question. You know, again, there's this desire, let's get China for this. No. Our political class didn't have to panic.
No.
Let's never forget, a little bit inside the world dies.
True.
When the country that is the beacon of liberty around the world, that people have been risking their lives to get to for centuries now, so easily gives up its freedom.
Yeah. Amen.
And who tried to take it from us, and who to varying degrees took it from us? It was the political class.
Yeah.
Fauci on his own can't do anything. He has no legislative authority. He can be alarmist. But we aired it, it's from Trump on down, and it's just a tragedy. And let's keep our eyes focused on who did this. Politicians are prone to do things.
And by the way, John, still are. I mean, our governor here in Colorado is still doing the things that you're talking about. We're not free from, you know, masks and the distancing and opening of restaurants and businesses and so on here in our state. We're still operating under some of the things you're talking about.
Absolutely. And so it's just, again, I appreciate shows like yours. I appreciate you giving me a forum to talk about it, because I think we have to keep our focus on where it should be.
I agree.
Without politicians panicking, we're not in this position.
Yep.
There's a lot of good people out there who don't have jobs, and a lot
of
great people who did the most entrepreneurial act of all. They started their own business.
Mm-hmm.
A business is a miracle when it succeeds.
Amen.
It's a presumption about the future that's opaque. And they've had it taken from them by panicky politicians.
Yep, you're right. Good stuff. John, I appreciate you joining us. You're always a great insight and give, you know, just really good, solid perspective. Where do folks buy the book, John?
Oh, well, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I've heard it's in bookstores. Thank you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Love to have you back anytime. It's John Tamney, TAMNY, and the book is When Politicians Panicked, the new coronavirus, Expert Opinion and a Tragic Lapse of Reason. And again, he gives us some great, you know, even me, some things to think about. And I can be probably a little critical at times,
right,
maybe.
But
and he's right. We're bringing it back to the politicians. He's correct. It's their fault.
And just and mentioning the youth and how, you know,
there is hope there.
Yeah, there is hope there. And I think as this stuff starts to unfold, John, I really do think you will see a possible rebellion in the youth, because they've been lied to.
They've had a lot taken from
them.
And
the truth is going to eventually come out.
You are correct.
Just like, and we haven't really gone into it yet with what happened with Dr. Fauci. Yesterday, he completely lied, saying that the National Institute of Health did not do any kind of research on gain function, which gain function is basically making a virus more dangerous.
Right.
Any kind of experiments on that. He lied.
Yeah.
And now we have proof in a 2017 article of the National Institute of Health.
Yeah, the only thing I will add to what John just said, and I appreciate everything John said, and I agree with everything you said, it is the politician's fault. Although, politicians are typically not health experts, with the exception of the Rand Pauls of the world. Most are not, you know, health experts. They're relying on the individuals that are around them to advise them of what to do in a particular situation like we have now. Now, did they make the mistake of giving too much power to the likes of Birx and Fauci? Yeah. Well, yes, they did.
Yeah.
Even Trump made that mistake, which I'm guessing if you were to sit and have a conversation with him one-on-one, he'd go back in time and say, yeah, I screwed up.
And it makes me question Mike Pence as well. Let's not forget him. He's the one that formed this team.
But again, these guys are not health experts.
Right, not health experts, no. But
and they are trying to protect the public.
Right, but Pence had a little bit more experience because they had like kind of a an issue with AIDS and HIV in Indiana when he was governor. And so he knew Fauci.
Yeah, the mistake they made.
And he put Fauci kind of with a lot of authority, which I...
Well, and I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
The mistake I feel they made, and they were trying to be constitutionally correct in letting states make their own decisions.
Right.
Which I believe is correct.
Yeah.
But they could have put a lot more influence upon states and saying, listen, you know, we're not going to fund X unless you do X. They can do that. They can't say, Polis, no masks. But they can say, Polis, you don't open some things up and get your economy back on track, we're going to limit funding. They could have done some of those things.
Funding. Yeah, that's
true. And they didn't.
No, they didn't.
They didn't use the power they had the best they could have.
To push
for freedom
of people.
That's right. That's right. So,
to be able to choose. My
lot to talk about, a lot to recap, and you know, it is what it is. Now I got something to come back to that I want to talk about when it comes to some of these CDC things that are coming out and even some of the tweets that are surrounding it, which, by the way, what's now being said from even the CDC is what we've been saying on this program for now over a year. I'll give you what that is in a moment when we come back. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, 720-895-0500. Get that free mortgage checkup today. Just give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe, too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Roof Max. Dave Hart will join me Saturday, by the way, on Fix It Radio. We'll answer some roof questions then. But what we're finding is more and more, and Dave's been doing a lot more digging into this, is the supply of shingles is diminishing. The amount of choices on colors of what you can even put on the roof is diminishing. Keep in mind, these guys are building shingles. There's a lot of new construction going on, and most likely they're going to get stuff before you getting a re-roof done will. So it's something to think about, and what I'm getting at is protect the roof you have now. Have it last as long as possible and avoid some of those headaches that might potentially come down the pike. Get a free roof inspection today. Find out what he can do for you. 303-710-6916.
Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora started out as a traditional roofer, repairing and replacing asphalt roofs. But he got so tired of the unnecessary waste. The quality of asphalt shingles has declined in recent years, leading to less and less durable roofs, especially in Colorado, where high altitudes expose your roof to stronger UV rays that damage your shingles, combined with severe spring and summertime storms and more than twice the national average snowfall, you could end up replacing your roof every few years, paying higher and higher insurance costs. Roof rejuvenation from RoofMax offers an alternative to total roof replacement. Just one application of the all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof guaranteed. Because Dave has a background in roofing, he can provide any patches or small repairs your roof may need before applying roof rejuvenation. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama. All right, so Richard is texting me some things, tweeting, you know, things that are being tweeted and so on.
Yeah.
And these are some tweets coming out from Chris Van Der Veen. We'll give him credit. He's here in town.
Okay.
The first tweet is, already seeing a lot of chatter about the mask news from the CDC that in essence goes like this, quote, well, how do we know the unvaccinated people won't lie and opt not to wear a mask?
Right.
And the truth is, we don't and we won't. Should you care? No. He says, and maybe a little yes. His next tweet, if you're around unvaccinated people, the risk is theirs, not yours. You're safe, they're not. If we say we trust the science, then how is it, or now is the time to prove it. Science is screaming in our faces, the vaccines work remarkably well. You know, he's got a great point. Richard says, this is what we've been saying all along. In other words, if you feel safe, do your own thing.
Right.
If you don't, then protect yourself.
Right.
But let's start living life.
And if vaccines work, then you should be fine if you've got the vaccine.
And if that's what you feel needs to protect you, then knock your socks off.
You do what you need to do.
You do you.
Yeah, you do you.
And I'll do
it's
me.
Very, yes.
And we'll be fine.
Right.
It's not my job to protect you, by the way.
No.
I'll keep stating that. It's not my job to protect you.
No.
You protect you, I'll protect me.
But it's been this way this entire time. Like, that's what we've been saying this entire time.
We have. Yes.
Personal responsibility. If you're scared and there's not a vaccine out there yet, then you need to stay in your home.
Do whatever you need to. Protect yourself.
Yeah,
get that bubble wrap on.
Plastic.
That's
right.
Get that bubble wrap on.
Oh,
cut a hole in the top and away you go.
Yeah.
Get your snorkel on.
I mean, do
put
whatever
the fins
you
on. Do whatever you need to.
But don't force other people to do something that they don't feel comfortable doing. I don't know why this shouldn't be like controversial to say this. Like, it shouldn't be like you're the mean person if you're like, hey, you do you, I'll do me. And let's just be cool with that.
And Richard said there's more in this tweet, which I'll make sure I keep reading.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, first of all, it's time to stop worrying about what others are doing.
Wow.
If you've been vaccinated, you're in good shape. The chances of you getting sick have gone way down. The odds of you getting really sick are way, way down. This is critical. If you're around unvaccinated people, he goes on to say, the risk is theirs, not yours. You're safe, they're not. If we say trust the science and now it's time, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, again, bottom line, thanks, Chris, by the way, for saying all these things. I think you're spot on. It's the things I've been talking about on my program for a very, very long time. And again, if you know you're of high risk, then, you know, you do what you need to do.
Right.
But don't run around and force your views on everyone else.
Yeah, but see, I found it interesting.
You know what's interesting? Well, real quick, I just want to, before I forget my thought. You know, Christians for years have always been accused of forcing their views on everyone else, right?
Right.
You know, the first thing the other side will say is that as a Christian, you're forcing your views upon me.
Yeah,
we're intolerant. You're forcing your beliefs upon me, so on and so on. Isn't the shoe now on the other foot?
Right.
To a large extent?
Yeah.
Because isn't that exactly what they're doing?
Are you intolerant of people that are choosing to not do what you've chosen to do? I mean, that's intolerance, right? Like, why can't you just love everybody and let them choose what they want to do?
Like I said, the shoe's on the other foot now.
Right.
Isn't it hilarious?
Yeah. Kind of. Well, I mean, it's kind of, but kind of not. But I've noticed a difference in the dynamic out there because I go into places without a mask on.
Okay.
And for a long time, it was like you get the death stares.
But you're in Douglas County. You can.
You get the death stares. You get people that like give you that, you know, you want everyone
stink
to die.
Eye.
I've had
it's a
people.
Stink eye.
Yeah, I've had people say stuff to me.
Oh, sure.
Right. But over the last, I would say, 2 weeks, it's just cool.
Is that diminished?
It's totally cool.
Hmm. That's good.
And it was so cool because the other day I came out of King Soopers. So I don't know if I should say King Soopers. I don't want to get them in trouble. But I came out. And there was an older woman. She was probably like, you know, about, well, not older, but I mean 70. And she's like, it's so good to see your face. And she wasn't wearing a mask either. And I was like, it's good to see your face. And we totally started struck up a conversation. And she's like, it's just encouraging to see other people that aren't afraid. And I was like, I'm not afraid. And she's like, I said, are you afraid? She goes, I'm not afraid either. She goes,
she's 70.
Yeah. She's like, I'm making this choice. And she goes, I hope people respect it. And it was just really cool. I was like, but I think more and more people are doing it. And that was, I think last time I was in there, it was like four people without a mask. It's just increasing. At first, I was the only one. And then, you know, you see one other person and you have this like you know, this salute to them, like, hey, it's like this camaraderie. And then I'm seeing more and more now. So it's cool.
Do you, so question for you, I'll ask Charlie this as well, because we're not vaccinated.
Okay, yeah, no.
I'm not, Charlie's not, you're not. Do you ever, you know, go out in public and worry about somebody being around you that might have COVID, given the fact that, you know, you're quote unquote unprotected? Does that ever cross your mind? Do you even ever think about it?
I don't, I have not thought about it at all.
Me neither.
No.
Charlie, you? None of us do. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Not one of us have ever thought that, oh, I'm sitting here and that guy might have COVID. I'm just like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, no.
Now, I will say this. If I knew that that person had COVID, would I keep my distance? Yeah, I'm not an idiot. If he has a cold, I'm keeping my distance.
Right.
If the guy's got the flu, I'm keeping my distance, right?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, is that what we used to do?
And I'm different, though, from you and Charlie because I have had the virus.
True. So you've got a little bit of immunity.
Yeah, I do have immunity.
But am I right in what I'm saying? Listen, if you're on the bus or you're in the movie theater and you're sneezing and sniffling all over the place, am I going to sit real close to you if I've never seen you?
No,
I'm not a moron.
Right. And when I had COVID, though, I didn't expose myself to other people. Like, I respected. I was like, you know, I'm going to stay home. We ordered groceries. We didn't go shopping. We stayed in because I didn't want other people to get it.
No more than you want somebody that has a cold.
Right.
Right?
So, I mean, if you have symptoms, you know, if you feel just stay home.
Well, I mean, isn't that just common courtesy?
It is common courtesy.
But you see where I'm going with this, though. I mean, if you had, you know, as much as I like you.
Okay, good.
If you had a really bad cold, I'll be... real frank, I'm keeping my distance.
You don't have to come, Rachel. It's cool. Like,
but
you can stay in your
home. Even if you do, I'm keeping my distance.
Right.
Why? Because I don't want a cold.
Right. No.
I mean, I live to not have a cold.
Right. Like, you
or any other illness for that matter.
You don't go around licking things hoping. No. But you're also just being out and about. You are being exposed to things.
Of course you are.
Your immune system is.
But my point is,
building up and
I'm not going to add to that if I don't have to.
Right. No.
I'm not dumb.
No.
So why can't we just do that?
I don't know. And I will tell you, I have felt significantly better, even though I've got a little, like, some kind of allergy thing. But I'm fine.
No, allergies are bad right now. You hate to sneeze in public.
But I will even say, because I started taking vitamin D after I got COVID, I will tell you, I have felt, not invincible, but I felt
good,
stronger. And I know I've been exposed to all sorts of crap since then. And I haven't gotten sick. Right.
I mean, Charlie and I have said it over and over again at a point where people are probably tired of hearing me say it, but we've not changed our lifestyle at all. I mean, I've traveled. I've been on airplanes.
Are you increasing vitamins? What do you do? Are you doing anything that no?
Anything different than I ever was?
You.
No.
Yeah.
Charlie says D.
Nice.
I mean, I'm fairly regimented with, you know, vitamins and things along those lines anyways. Have I changed my routine at all? No. Honestly.
But remember, you were saying, you were talking about the Neanderthal gene or whatever. Not that I'm saying you're Neanderthal.
No,
I
think there's a lot to do with genes here.
Yeah, genes and strength, and you have, you know, really strong genetics.
I'll give you an example. So my folks ended up with COVID. Where did they catch it? I don't know. Could have been a plane. Could have been somebody at the funeral that we went to. Who knows where? Could have been all sorts of things. And, you know, my mom struggled a little more than my dad did, which is interesting because my dad's had two rounds of chemo and colon cancer and all sorts of other things. You would have thought that he would have had a harder time with it than my mom. But he's on this huge dose of vitamins that he's on from a prescription for his eyes and other things that, by the way, are D and zinc and vitamin C. Mm. And I can go down the line.
Right, right.
And it's interesting that his high dosage of that, and he basically had the sniffles.
Uh-huh.
He hardly had it at all. And these are people, my folks are in their 80s. My dad just turned 80. And it just goes to show you that even at their age, they got it and still made it through. So is it a gene thing? I wonder.
Yeah. We're going to find so much more out
down
over the course
line.
Of the next few years. My goodness.
I agree. All right, Golden Eagle Financials coming up next, folks. Al Smith, he would love to help you with your future needs when it comes to planning for your financial future. That's what he does. And right now, he's got a great deal going on, by the way, too. If you set up an appointment with Al between now and I have to remember the date here, the 15th. So it's coming up here a couple of days away. If you make an appointment between now and the 15th, you get a $50 gift card if you're a single person, a $100 gift card if you're a couple to Fleming's Restaurant. So call Al today, get in front of him, find out what he can do for you. And by the way, if you haven't seen a financial advisor in years because they just don't contact you, well, then there's another reason to make that phone call. 303-744-1128 or klzradio.com.
Before you make any decisions about specific strategies to collect your retirement funds, you need to picture yourself in retirement.
Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, meets with plenty of people who have never thought about how they will spend their retirement years. So he starts every consultation with an exercise in imagination. You probably have a plan bouncing around in your brain somewhere. Starting a business, traveling overseas, volunteering at your church, going on a mission trip, moving closer to family. Al will help you to envision, after decades of hard work, finally having enough time to do what you want. As you describe your future goals, Al will establish a realistic projection of what you'll need in retirement. Start planning early so most of your retirement income can be tax-free. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Extreme Auto Repair, folks, where you can get your vehicle taken care of, maintained, repaired, whatever it is, they're there for you in Parker. Again, find them at extremeautorepair.com, and it's any vehicle. It doesn't matter what the make or model. They've got all the tools, equipment, and training necessary to fix your vehicle. And right now, you need them because you got to keep that vehicle on the road as long as possible. 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. klzradio.com/accountable.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Dr. Fauci's National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases funded coronavirus research that included work at China's Wuhan Institute of Virology. If it's true, it certainly should be a game changer, right?
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
The Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel King, conservative mama with us today, and Charlie Grimes, your engineer. Our next guest joining us now, Derek Hawley. Am I saying the last name right, Derek?
Yes, you did, Derek Hawley. How are you?
I'm very good. I appreciate you joining us. Talk to us about a new survey. Real quick, I want to make sure I introduce you correctly as well. You are with Climate One, and that's climateone.org if you folks want to go look at the actual organization. And you're president of Reaching America. Is that right, Derek?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
All right. I appreciate you joining us. We have, though, or you, I should say, have a new national energy survey. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I've gone before Congress four times to talk about energy and energy poverty, which occurs when individuals are unable to afford basic heating and electric needs.
Okay.
And so I've been talking about this energy for a while, and now to have a national poll to validate it is just phenomenal. And so what we did was we polled Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Conservatives, Moderates, and Liberals. And 81% of these people believe that Americans are energy independence is critical.
Wow.
So
wow, 80%.
That's good.
81%.
That's phenomenal. That's awesome.
And get this, guys, 83% were Democrats.
Wow.
The biblical just indeed. And so, but the biggest group obviously was 87% of Republicans, but 81% were independents.
Wow.
87% were conservatives. Yeah, the numbers are outrageous.
That's a high number. Yeah, very high. Okay, so when you talk energy independence, define that. I mean, when you ask them that question, how did you guys define it?
Not reliant on foreign oil and gas.
Okay.
Right.
And as you know, in 2019, for the first time, America became energy independent under President Trump's administration.
That's right.
And so I've written op-eds about this. I've talked about it many, many times. And it just begs the question, how can our natural resources be worthy enough for the rest of the world to use and be told right here at home that it's not good enough for us right here? And so, as you know, also in 2019, America became the number one exporter of oil and natural gas.
That's right.
Taking Saudi Arabia and Russia. So, again, America wants our natural resources, but here at home, we're being misled and told that it's not good.
By the way, I appreciate your language there by saying misled, because you're right. We're being lied to and misled down this rabbit hole of how bad oil coming out of the ground or natural gas is, you know, fossil fuels, let's say it that way. We're being told how bad those products are, Derek, when in fact it lifts up the entire world. Everybody benefits from it.
Everybody. And the other thing is, I continue to use the word misled because people don't understand how much fossil fuels and petrochemicals play in their lives every single day.
That's right. We can't live without them right now, Derek.
Even you know, it's really an attack on your yoga mat because also come from a petrochemical.
Oh, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of products, and to your point, Derek, I don't think people have been trained well enough to even know what is a plastic, what is a spandex, what's nylon, what are these things made out of, and the reality is oil.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to explain it. They're made from oil, and yet none of them understand that because in their mind, oil is dirty, it's black, it's ugly, it's sooty, it's all these nasties that really come to their mind because that's what they've been trained to think.
Right.
When in the reality is the spandex T-shirt they just put on came from oil.
Exactly, and I think we in the industry, I think we got kind of complacent. And didn't promote the benefits.
You're right.
Of oil and gas.
No, you're right. I had something I was going to do this past Monday, Derek, and you kind of reminded me of it right now, and I didn't get time to get into it, but there's some great there's a website called Singularity Hub, and there's an article there titled "Hilarious and Surprising Predictions of the Future from the 1960s," and a lot of these videos have to do with computerization and the use of plastics.
No way.
And where we would be in this generation when it comes to using plastics. Let's face it, before that, everything was made out of either wood or steel or iron or other precious metals because plastics were really just really in their infancy at that point, Derek, and we had no idea what we could do with it.
That's right. That's right. It's just amazing. Again, we go back to, like I said, I think the industry's been complacent. We haven't done a good job of getting the message out there. I became so passionate about energy and the industry because when I first graduated from college, I actually worked for Norfolk Southern Railroad as a brake. And our job and responsibility was loading ships that transported coal all around the world.
Okay.
In addition to that, my grandfather was also a black coal miner in Southwest Virginia. And what concerns me the most is I've had a chance to go back to visit the Appalachians, those mountains. And they shut down those mines years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And those communities have never recovered.
No.
Wow.
So
no.
Now you have this administration trying to shut down jobs in the oil and gas industry. And it concerns me that some of these same communities down in Texas and Louisiana have been thriving for years with oil and gas jobs going to look like what it looks like in Appalachia if you shut this industry down.
And Derek, and I appreciate what you just said a moment ago because it's a reminder, and my heart goes out to those communities because people don't really know this. Another thing we don't do a good enough job of educating, some of the, if not the poorest communities we have in the entire United States of America come from the area you're talking about. Am I right?
Yes, sir. And poverty in the Appalachia is different from poverty in the inner city.
Yeah. Yes.
At least in the inner city, you can go to the little side store, you can get some milk, you can get some soda and stuff like that.
Right.
These people, there's stores for miles.
That's right. They have nothing.
I cannot tell you how many houses I saw that had blue tarps with tires holding down these blue tarps because they didn't have the money to get the roofs fixed.
Right.
Wow.
Right. No, it's sad. My heart breaks, Derek. It's awful. And to your point, that doesn't have to be that way. I say we, the politicians in this country, the policies that they created made that happen.
Yep. Yeah, they declared war on coal.
That's what they did. Yes.
Yeah. And we need sensible energy policy that makes sense. That makes sense for the environment, okay? It makes sense for people's pockets.
Yep.
Right.
And I know that we can come to that. And you don't have to look any further than down in the Gulf at Port Fourchon, Louisiana, where they have all the onshore operations for everything that goes on offshore. It's amazing to see. Mm-hmm. And people come from around the world to study the Gulf because it's so rich in natural resources and wildlife and fish.
Wow.
And people, again, we've been misled in thinking that, oh, it can't coexist. It's not true.
No, it has for years, eons. Well, we all know, Derek, and at least I know you do and I do, that even before any drilling happened in the Gulf, there was a natural seepage of that oil coming up out of the seafloor all those years. It's still happening today. And some way, somehow, that Gulf has been able to handle all of that, the bacteria that eat some of that oil and so on. We've been dealing with it as a land, if you would, or as a planet for years and years and years, long before we started tapping into it.
That's right. That's right. And if you don't tap into it, it's just going to continue to come out of the ground.
That's right.
But the other thing, too, we have the technology here in the United States, more so than any other country. And why the same waters that we share down in Florida off the coast, you got other companies, other countries drilling in that same water. And so the risk that they're claiming that would come from us doing, we would do a better job than some of these countries that are down and doing it right now.
You know what? Yeah, amen. You are very correct in what you're saying there. It's why we, as a country and our oil companies, literally here in the United States, it's why we go around the world and literally train others on how to do what you're talking about. We are the leader in that area, big time.
That's right.
Yeah, you're correct.
Exactly.
Okay, question, Derek. And, you know, named our show for a reason. You know, we're Rushed to Reason. How do we then reason with all of these politicians, these policymakers, and get them off of this pipe dream they've got where they think that, you know, windmills and solar energy are somehow going to be the gigantic fix, which, by the way, Derek, all it does is make us now more dependent upon China than we ever have been in the past. How do we get them to quit thinking about that pipe dream?
You know, it's a tough one. And I just asked the question, you know, when you look at this poll, and this is coming from everyone, you just got to ask the question, how can you want to give back our energy independence to these adversaries like China, like Russia, like Iran, okay, who we're having all these problems with, all this beef with right now? And so to me, how can you be down for America and want to turn back your energy, give your energy resources back to these countries? And so we all need to do a better job educating others as to how critical it is to keep our energy independence. Because it's not just about energy, it's also about national security.
Yeah, true. Good point.
I'm a licensed captain. And if I'm out on my boat, I would much rather see a ship flying that American flag than some daggone flag that I have no idea who the hell this is coming in these waters.
True.
So true.
True.
So those are the kind of things that we need to think about when we start talking about energy and national security.
Well, you're spot on. Derek, I cannot state it any better than you have. One more time, where do folks go and learn more about what you guys have going on, Derek?
You can pull up the poll itself at TIPP Insights. That's TIPP Insights. For me, you can follow me at DJ Holly on Twitter and at Reach in America.
Okay.
ReachinAmerica.org.
Awesome. Yeah, this is awesome. Derek, I appreciate it. You're welcome anytime. I appreciate somebody out there got you and I connected, and I appreciate that very much. I think it might even be producer Ann may have done that. Regardless, whoever did it, thank you. This has been fabulous.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, Derek. Have a great evening, and he is spot on.
Yeah.
So that survey of all walks of life.
Yeah.
80% plus want us to stay energy independent. So here's the thing I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
If you sat down with all of them
right.
for half an hour and explained to them that going quote-unquote green with our energy actually makes us more dependent upon outside sources, i.e. China,
right.
would that not change their mind when it comes to this quote-unquote green energy?
You would think it would.
I would think so,
that
too.
It would. But what's
I just don't think they know.
What's crazy to me is, okay, they want more green, right? So they want us to become less energy independent, more dependent upon, let's say, China, while China doesn't regulate anything.
Mm-mm.
Okay, their air is disgusting. It's horrible. It's polluting
right.
our world.
Right.
So you're still polluting the world. It's
right.
just you're doing it in a different region. I mean, isn't that kind of like...
Yeah, I agree. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got a call coming in. American National Insurance is up next. Paul Leuenberger, my great friend. We'd love to help you with all of your insurance needs. It's easy. Give him a call. Get a free quote. Find out how he can help you. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789 and ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
All right, speaking of insurance, go to a good shop. They can take care of an insurance claim you've got on your vehicle. They'll work with the insurance company, handle all that directly, so that's what they do. Or if you just want to fix your vehicle up and have it look new again, they can accommodate that as well. There's a great estimating tool on their website. Find that by going to klzradio.com or call 720-541-7697.
Al and his team at A Good Shop advocate for you behind the scenes so you can live your life. You may not understand the complicated details of your auto body insurance claim. You just want your vehicle back to pre-accident condition in a reasonable amount of time. Once you drop off your vehicle at A Good Shop, they will take it from there as you are updated throughout the repair process. Al and Jamie Sturm earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can provide the parts recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. They will work with your insurance company to replace parts that are best for your vehicle. A Good Shop wants to fix your vehicle right, so they contact parts suppliers so your insurance dollars stretch even further. Meanwhile, you keep living your life. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations. Because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Ken in Centennial, you're next.
Hey, John.
How are you, sir?
Got me fired up on this COVID thing again.
Sorry. That's what we do.
Hey, you mentioned an hour ago, maybe, the death rate for COVID.
Yes.
When you really factor in the truth, the honesty.
Yes.
The honesty of it.
The numbers are so low.
It's not even 99.9 whatever.
Nope. No, it is so low. If you really factor it correctly, you get rid of the comorbidities, and you really look at the actual real COVID-only death rate, Ken, we have been hoodwinked.
Yeah, like I think I read somewhere where a guy died in a motorcycle accident, and he happened to have COVID, so they called it COVID.
Well, the coroner up in Grand County, who, by the way, is a liberal, complained up in Grand County there was a shooting up there, and the shooting victims, because they actually had COVID, still got listed as a COVID death, not a murder.
No.
Yes. The coroner was mad and complained.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting hoodwinked.
We are hoodwinked big time.
And the mainstream media is absolutely complicit in all.
Yeah, you know, we did, we should have mentioned that a little earlier with John Tamney, that, you know, not only are the politicians to blame in a lot of this, but our media is as well. Yeah. They're as guilty as charged in this as anyone.
Yep.
And, you know, we were talking about taking this COVID shot. This is what's going to happen, John. I predicted this, and you know it's going to happen. They're going to get these people on the left, they're going to get as many people vaccinated as they can. They're going to get that number up as high as they can, and then they're going to turn it around on us, you, me, Rachel, your kids, my kids, and they're going to shame us.
Yeah.
They're absolutely going to shame us.
You're right. You're correct. You're correct.
So,
You're right. No, and Ken, I got to run top of the hour, but you are right, 100% correct. I agree with everything he just said. That's exactly what they'll do.
Shame.
Yeah, they'll give you the brown eye, the stink eye, the, you know, you're bad, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's coming. Just hold tight. It's coming. Trust me. All right, got another full hour coming your way. Myself, Rachel Keene, Matt Johnston going to join us at the top of the hour talking about Facebook and Trump being banned. So we'll be back. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.